I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway, with the Wisconsin State Journal. We will have offensive tackle David Edwards on later in the show, but we are now joined by the one and only Benjamin Morgel of BadgerNation.com. How you doing, Ben?
All right, I'm the David Edwards appetizer. Let's see if I can deliver the first course here.
Are you the David Edwards appetizer, or is David Edwards
the
Benjamin
looks
Morgel
like,
dessert?
David Edwards looks like he ate some poor student beat writer as a true freshman to put on 70 pounds. I mean, that transformation that he has done is impressive, to the point where it's acknowledged that he was a midseason All-American by ESPN. That's pretty impressive for a second-year starter still learning the spot, to be able to be in a position that he is in to anchor that important side of the line to keep Alex Hornibrook clean. And for the most part, he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I mean, I was surprised when I saw that, him being a midseason All-American, and it was only one team, so he was a first-team guy, so they were saying he's one of the two best tackles in the country. And well, I think that's definitely a stretch, and I think that's, I don't know if he's one of the best two tackles in the country, but I have been really impressed with what he's done this season. I think he's a completely different player than last year. I think he's really dominating a lot of games out there. I think he's been really good.
Just look at his growth from when we first saw him against Ohio State, where he was just getting blown up and not really looking like he belonged at that time at that level. I mean, that's a year later, and now he's getting that kind of recognition from ESPN. It's really impressive the work that he put in after his true freshman year, where he came in as a high school quarterback, was working at tight end, and he put on, 70, 80 pounds, and was in position to be the right tackle after Jacob Maxwell went down, owned that spot, then spent the entire spring working at left tackle, and then flipped back to right, so he didn't even get a full offseason working at right tackle, and he has just owned that spot. Him and Benchwell have been a really nice combo. Bo Benchwell, who was, preseason All-American by USA Today, I think it was. Those two have been very, very solid for Wisconsin on that side, which is good because this line is banged up as they are on the left side with a redshirt freshman center. They need some side to be working, and it's not a surprise that Jonathan Taylor's big bust on Saturday night came by going towards the right side. That combo of Benchwall and Edwards have been really fantastic so far.
The Benchwall preseason All-American was a little harder for me to buy into, but he's been pretty good.
Every preseason list is hard to buy into. I mean, heck, I was on the Mackey Award watch list, and my eligibility ran out years ago. I mean, how much stock do you put into these things? That's a credit to Bo, who, kind of along the same lines, was thrown in as a redshirt freshman at right tackle, was not a very good right tackle. They moved him to right guard for the Minnesota game, where Joe Rudolph started four redshirt freshmen on the offensive line. They ran for a ton of yards against Minnesota, 240 or whatever, 250 plus, whatever it was, and that stuck. And he's been able to really work at that the last couple of years, and he's really developed into a very good player, and he's certainly got a lot more room to grow. And I think the experience that Wisconsin, the growing pains that they went through their first year on the line, playing that many young guys, are really now starting to pay dividends with guys like Dieter and Benchwall and Kapoy, even to a degree, the job that he has done as a backup who can play multiple spots. This line now has some very good quality depth, and we saw it too on Saturday with Jason Erdman, and we're seeing a little bit of it with Cole Van Lannen at left tackle. They have some options now if some guys have to miss some time.
Yeah, I almost forgot about Benchall's right tackle days. You're right. He was
well, they were forgettable, which is why you probably forgot about them.
And that David Edwards game against Ohio State last year, that was almost exactly a year ago. And I mean, he was brutal. He only played six plays and gave up a really bad sack. And he struggled in pass protection throughout last season, but he's really gotten a lot better in that area.
His game at Iowa, I think a week later, showed you started to see the promise, because you're going against a very good defensive line, defensive front against Iowa, but not a super defensive front like Ohio State had. And I thought he really held his own, and then I thought, you know, you start to see the wheels start to turn and the momentum start to get in his corner, and he's really had a tremendous, you know, year with the work that he's been able to do.
Yeah, and so they're coming off this, you know, getting back to on track to this season, I guess, coming off this 38.
That was a good tangent that we just had.
It was, yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
That was a good tangent.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to talk about
David Edwards being a beat writer and then going into a whole storyline of how this offensive line came together.
But it's relevant because they played really well in that Nebraska game. I thought pretty much everyone across the board played well, including Jason Erdman when he came in. And, you know, I remember before the game we were talking and you said, you know, you would have been really surprised if Wisconsin covered the 11.5 point spread.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, you know, I mean, obviously it was a close game and it wasn't as simple as the 21-point final score, but how'd you feel about that win for Wisconsin? You know, a lot of adversity faced, but then they ended up pulling away at the end with just running it down their throat.
Yeah, I forgot how bad Nebraska is at stopping Wisconsin running backs, and you think I should know better by now with what Monte Ball has done to him and Melvin Gordon, how he terrorized him for years, and now Jonathan Taylor's going to terrorize him for the next three. Hope he stays healthy. I mean, that was probably
the next two.
Yeah, it was such a really, really impressive performance by Taylor. And you know, the line, too. I thought the line has had some issues this year with pass protection. I really didn't see that in this game. They had the one stunt that Nebraska threw at him that Hornibrook came up to the line. He communicated something, probably a change of protection. Benchwell missed the stunt, and that threw two guys at Biadasz's A-gap, and, you know, you only can and block one guy, and that play just blew up. Other than that, I thought they were terrific up front. Nebraska really, I thought, offensively made a point that Wisconsin was not going to get to him in pressure after what they saw Northwestern do to him a week before, where he had eight sacks, 11 tackles for loss. I thought there was a number of plays where Nebraska kind of went max protect to a degree, and that helped Tanner Lee get into a rhythm early. But I thought that Wisconsin wore them down defensively, especially in the second half, and that allowed the offense to really start to dictate tempo when they had those sustained drives. I thought, as good as Taylor's 75-yard touchdown run was to counter the Stanley Morgan touchdown, I thought the moment of the game was Taylor's first three runs. I think he went 8, 15, and 10 in some order to get them out of harm's way where they're pinned on their own 7 after the two penalties. And that sustained drive started three straight drives of 10 plays. Each chewed up at least 5:30, 5:45 of the clock, and really just shortened the game and just exerted their dominance over Nebraska. And it really puts Wisconsin now in kind of a hammerlock with this division, because Northwestern was the perceived number two team in the Big Ten coming into this year. Wisconsin has a tiebreaker over them, and now Northwestern's 0-2 after losing to Penn State last week. Nebraska was the perceived number three team. They were 46-5 at home and in primetime night games. They won their last 20. Wisconsin scores the last 21 points of that game and takes care of them. Now Nebraska's got to deal with Ohio State at home this week. They have to go to State College in November. And Wisconsin has a very manageable road against four teams who, I believe, since 2004, they've only lost to one of them in that time strain. It's just been such a dominant run over Purdue and Maryland and Illinois and Indiana that you have to wonder how good this Wisconsin team is going to get now, because they have not played a complete game yet, if you think about it. Utah State, they started slow, down 10-0. They scored the last 59 points of the game. Florida Atlantic, really good first half, kind of a very uneven second half. The game against BYU, slow start, but that was probably their closest to a complete game. Northwestern, slow start, slow ending, dominate the middle part of the game, and obviously the game against Nebraska on the road, kind of one of those slow starts in the first half, didn't have that same type of punch offensively that they had later on. This team hasn't put it together yet offensively, or I think they haven't put it together defensively yet, and yet they're 5-0, they're number 7 in the country. And you have to think that they're only going to get better. And, you know, this will be an interesting test this week against a Purdue team that has, you know, that is one, in my opinion, one of the pleasant surprises this year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think what you want to see from this Wisconsin team now is that complete game. You know, I think that, I mean, I didn't even realize it, you know, in the moment on Saturday, but it was another second half where the defense didn't allow a single point. You know, the one touchdown Nebraska had after after the break was the pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they didn't have, you know, Nebraska didn't have the ball very much in that second half. A lot of that had to do with the offense controlling the clock.
I think just 8.5 minutes they had in the second half.
Yeah, they only had a few drives after that pick six. So, but I think, you know, like you mentioned, starting slow and then the ending against Northwestern, you know, starting slow in the first couple games, you know, I guess you could argue BYU was a complete game, but I think
pretty darn close.
But I think, you know, I think you want to see that a little bit more often from this Wisconsin team going forward. They're playing these opponents coming up that you think would be definite wins for Wisconsin. Like you mentioned, Purdue is definitely improved, and it'll be interesting to see them facing up against a team like Wisconsin, a top 10 team, if they can really hang. But you know, I think that you, if you're a Wisconsin fan, you want to see this team the next few weeks go out and really dominate the competition.
Yeah, Purdue had a season opener, and season openers are always tough to gauge, but you know, they hung with Louisville, who I think was 16th at the time, I want to say, into the fourth quarter, led in the fourth quarter. Their conference home opener against top 10 Michigan, they led at halftime. So they've played teams very tough. And they have confidence now after being Minnesota, scoring 18 points in the fourth quarter, overcoming four turnovers. They lost eight straight Big Ten games. That's gone now. They equal last year's win total in overall and in conference play. And they have some old souls on this team that have not tasted a lot of success because of the ineptitude of Daryl Hazel. That now they're winning football games and they're having that success and that confidence, and you know, for a lot of these seniors, you play your best your final year, at least that's what you hope. And you have a lot of guys on this Purdue team that are playing very good football right now, and this would be a good test for Wisconsin. I wouldn't totally overlook Purdue. I think Wisconsin will win the game. I think that they will cover the, I think it's like 15.5, I think I saw. They should be able to win this game, I think, easily. I think, though, there'll be some points in this game where Purdue, I think, will surprise some people with what they've been able to do. Just and notice that this Boilermaker team is just starting to scratch the surface of what Jeff Baum can do, where he put up just silly, silly good numbers offensively with his teams in Western Kentucky.
And from a big picture perspective, I know Purdue's improved, but these next few games, if you're looking at this Wisconsin team as far as trying to make the college football playoff, you've got to dominate the bad teams on your schedule.
Yeah.
Because if this team ends up 12-1, it's going to be very fine margins whether they get into the playoffs or not. And I know that the playoff committee can say that margin of victory is not a huge factor, but it is. I mean, I think if you're comparing these teams and you know, the resumes are, especially if you're a team like Wisconsin that doesn't have a whole lot of opportunities to beat really good competition, you have to dominate the teams on your schedule that aren't considered to be very good, and that's what's important these next, you know, 3-4 games, I think, for Wisconsin.
I remember the dialogue going into the Big Ten championship game a year ago of, could Wisconsin do enough to make it into the college football playoff? And that Wisconsin team had two losses. And we had that conversation because of the teams Wisconsin had beaten on their schedule. They beat a top 10 team in LSU. They beat a top 10 team in Michigan State, who, in retrospect, was not anywhere close to a top 10 team. You beat a top 10 team in Nebraska, who, I guess, in retrospect, started to, you know, falter a little bit.
None of those teams were actually top 10 teams, but their two losses were close losses to legitimate top 10 teams.
Yeah, just 7-point losses to Ohio State and Michigan. But we were still having that conversation going into the Big Ten championship game against another top 10 team. If Wisconsin won and they won in a dominant fashion, could they do enough to get in that 4-team playoff? This year, if Wisconsin has two losses going into the Big Ten championship game, we're not having that discussion
now
at all, because there is no opportunity. If they have a bump in the road here over the next 7 conference games, they probably will be on the outside looking in, because there's really, your only ranked team is Michigan, and Michigan's got a tough stretch coming up. They're going to Indiana this weekend. Indiana, for some crazy reason, plays good teams tough on the road. Wisconsin's got to go there next month. Then I think they go to State College after that. Penn State has looked the most dominant team in the Big Ten so far. You know, Michigan could, you know, drop another game or two here and they'd be unranked. And then Wisconsin would have no ranked teams left on their schedule. So Wisconsin's got to just take care of business one week at a time, focus on what they can focus on. And you know, style points might matter. That might be in the discussion later on. But if Wisconsin is 12-0 and they win the Big Ten championship game against what will most likely be a top 10, top 15 team in the East, you'd have a very, very hard time convincing me that they don't belong in that 14 playoff. But that's a ways away from now.
Here's the way I look at it. If they're 13-0, they're going to get in the playoffs.
They're going. They're going past, it's not even a question.
Yep. They're going to get in for 13-0. I think if they're 12-1, but their losses in the Big Ten championship game and they're not the conference champion, they're probably not going to get in.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah.
But if they're 12-1 and they are the Big Ten champion, I think you have a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And that gives you a little bit of leeway if you were to lose to Michigan at home or maybe lose to Iowa and then beat Michigan. The schedule is poor enough where it's still not a guarantee, I think.
Can't lose in Champaign. That would be the ultimate crotch kick, because that happened back in 2007, I want to say, where Wisconsin was fifth in the country. They went down to Champaign, and Illinois was favored in that game against fifth-ranked Wisconsin, and they beat them. And I remember, because I wrote a column about it back then, where Brett said after the game, that would be Brett Bielema, the soon-to-be former head coach of Arkansas, he said that national championships are not a preseason expectation of this team. I'm paraphrasing. And that really stuck to me, that Brett did not have the forward thinking of the mindset to think that his team was... It came off that he didn't think his team was good enough to be in that conversation. This team is good enough. They certainly have proven that over the course of five games, that they can win on the road in tough environments, they can win at home, they can take care of their business. They just have to continue doing that, and they need to continue showing that they are a team that continues to get better. They're not a team that plays down their competition like other teams have in the past, and try to get that perfect game. I think that should be the goal of this team, because they know it. They know they have not played a flawless game yet, and they'll need to this week, in my opinion, to be able to deliver a really good performance against a Purdue team that could give them some problems in certain areas.
And there's actually some players on this team that have talked about the fact that they want to win a national championship. And
Derek Tyndall, certainly.
Jonathan Taylor today as well said that was, without being really asked, even just said that's what they want to do. And, people outside of, Madison can laugh at that or if they want, but, that should be your goal. And especially this team's good enough to have that goal, I think. And I don't think they're going to win the national championship, and I think it would be a real stretch for them to beat Alabama or Clemson, but it's definitely not impossible. They're good enough to where you should have that goal, I think.
People outside the program will point to the fact that Wisconsin's 5-0 and have not beaten a team that currently has a winning record, but these guys know in this locker room that that's a good Northwestern team. That's a Northwestern team that has had two really tough starts to Big Ten play, playing the perceived top team in the West and the perceived top team in the East. Nebraska is obviously going through some hiccups right now, but that Nebraska team has got some really good players on it too. And at some point, if Wisconsin just keeps winning, people will take notice. And I think, I can't remember if it was Sports Illustrated, I think it was USA Today, a reporter who was at the game wrote a story that while Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan get all the attention, Wisconsin is just like that steady metronome that just, run, tick tock. They're just very consistent. They're not flashy. They just go out and work. And, without sounding, cheesy, it's really worked for them over the course of the last, 10, 15 years, dating all the way back to when Barry was here calling the shots. It's just what they do. It's what they recruit to. It's what leads them to success. It's what they continue to recruit to. They're recruiting better now. And you're starting to kind of see that success, with guys like, Jonathan Taylor on the field. The job that Wisconsin did identifying him as their top running back target in that class to get him to flip from Rutgers, and now he's among the nation's best as a true freshman. It's pretty impressive.
Well, they're on the cusp, and they just have to start paying assistant coaches more, right?
They'll
win the national title.
Yeah, that's what the twice X... The twice former head coach of Wisconsin was saying, and he has his own issues. Didn't worry about assistant pay.
That's another topic for another podcast, I guess.
I will say once the surprising news of Gary Anderson came out, I tweeted something. Someone tweeted at me that, do you think Brett and Gary will team up to be the co-head coaches at the upstart Marquette University football team? I thought that was pretty good. That was the highlight of the day for me.
I saw that. I saw a suggestion of Gary and Nath at BYU. You know, they're struggling.
Yeah.
He spent time in Utah. BYU's coming here next year.
Oh, wouldn't that be wouldn't that be delicious?
It would be. Well, thanks for joining me, Ben.
My pleasure.
We now welcome Badgers offensive lineman David Edwards to the podcast. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. How do you feel like you're playing this season? It seems like you have taken some really big steps from last year. You were kind of thrown into the fire there in the middle of the season. It seems like this year you're really, you know, really coming into your own.
Yeah, I think I think I'm doing some good things, but still a lot of things I got to clean up. And we're only halfway through the season, and still a lot of work to do and a lot of goals still left to accomplish. So,
did you see that you were named a midseason All-American by I think it was ESPN?
Yeah, I saw that. My cousin sent it to me, so that was cool. But kind of like a midterm grade, it's doesn't really mean much until the end. So.
What was your reaction to that? Is that completely unexpected? Or?
Yeah, totally unexpected, but it was a really cool honor. And, like I said, it's only halfway through the season, so still a lot of work to be done.
It seems like the offensive line as a whole has really kind of been on this progression the last few years, and you guys are really playing well in the last, the last few weeks, especially, I know BYU, you guys played really well. Nebraska, you guys ran, I think, 30 of the last 32 plays were on the ground, and you guys drove for 3 touchdowns. So yep. How good does it feel to end a game like that and to play as well as you guys are playing right now?
Yeah, it feels really good. And, I think it's a testament to Coach Rudolph and Coach Chris and the game plan and the trust that he puts in us. And, the guys are working and we're doing a good job. But, I think 23-7 have a lot to do with our success. So those guys make a lot of stuff happen. So can't take all the credit.
It's funny because I think those two would say you guys have a lot to do with the success.
Yeah, but those two are pretty special players. And, on JT's 75-yard run, he made a few guys miss to score. So, I think those two guys and even Sheed and Chris are doing an outstanding job. It's just I think it's a team effort.
What was the biggest adjustment for you last year when you switched to tackle, and then when you got thrown in the middle of the season to try to learn on the fly like that? What was kind of the biggest transition, and what was the most difficult thing for you?
I'd just say the speed and how physical the game was, and really the details for an offensive lineman. A 6-inch step for an offensive lineman is a lot different than a 6-inch step on a route for a tight end, if that makes sense. So the details, I really thought, this camp and this season, I'm trying to focus on the little things that make the big difference. And I think those two things were the biggest changes or differences from last year, or the transition.
The offensive line plays probably a lot more nuanced than most people think, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's, there are, your hand placement matters, your steps matter, where you strike guys, your eyes have to be good, you have to communicate. So all those things matter for sure.
I'm writing a story on Alec James this week. I was wondering how difficult he is to block, in the preseason, maybe when you were going up against him. And,
yeah.
What kind of progress have you seen from him?
Yeah, Alec's a really good player. I think the one thing that makes Alec a really, really good player is how athletic he is. Super shifty guy, and he's really, really good with his hands. So when we have, like pass rush drills, his ability to get to an edge is a little bit different than those other guys just because of how athletic he is. So, yeah, he's doing a really good job. He's a really good player.
You look in the next few games here for you guys. I think people from outside the program would look at these next 3 or 4 games and say, oh, they're easy wins for Wisconsin. How do you make sure you don't kind of look ahead past these games against opponents that you guys haven't lost to in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, Purdue's a really, really good football team. I think those the defensive guys especially played a lot of games. And you can tell on tape that those guys are physical, they're fast, and they're playing with outstanding effort. So, even for us at least, it's going to be a great challenge for this upcoming week. Purdue's going to be a really, really good team.
Do you guys think about or talk about kind of how special this season could be for you guys? I know you've started 5-0, but just I know you guys don't like to look at, you try not to look ahead,
yeah.
but it seems like
this team is good enough to do some really special things this year. Do you guys kind of, you know, catch yourselves thinking about that sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we set goals, obviously, as a team, but I think Coach Chris and our staff does a really good job of trying to help us focus on the now and the day and our opponents. So I'm not trying to look forward, you know, to people down the week. It's more so just, you know, the now and who we're playing on Saturdays.
All right, thanks, David.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's going to do it for this week. You can follow Ben on Twitter at TheBadgerNation and follow me at Jason_Galloway. Join me on Saturday after the game against Purdue for a live chat on Twitter. You can throw any questions my way. We can get some post-game reaction from you guys, and I can give you my take as well. And then also keep visiting Madison.com for all of our Badgers football coverage throughout the season and throughout the rest of this week. Thanks for listening.